This podcast is brought to you by Diamond Medical. Please visit us at diamond.com.
Hi, my name is Peter Sahuni, Director of Business Development at Diamond Medical. This is a podcast from the Swedish American Life Science Summit in Stockholm, recorded on the 21st of August, 2009. My name is Peter Sahuni. I'm the Director of Business Development at Diamond Medical. And I'm very honored and pleased to be here and happy that you've come to listen to me. Diamond Medical, we're a phase three biopharmaceutical company specialized in diabetes. We're headquartered in Stockholm. We've got 11 people in Stockholm, and we've got an office in Pittsburgh with three people. So you understand, to come to phase three, you don't do that on 14 people. So we work with an outsourcing model. We have a lot of subcontractors, and we work more like project managers in the actual company. We have some of the foremost key opinion leaders in our areas of interest in our scientific advisory board. Hans Wigzell is one of them. He was very instrumental in designing the early phase trials, and that's a big strength for us. We're a public company. We're listed here in Stockholm on the Nasdaq OMX Stockholm Exchange. And we also have an ADR in the US listed on the OTCQX. And our market cap is approximately 1 billion Swedish crowns today, $140 million. Our CEO, one of only three female CEOs on the Swedish Stock Exchange, I think, Elisabeth Lindner. Unfortunately, she couldn't be here. Otherwise, she usually does these talks. But a very strong woman, very energetic. And here we have our pipeline. We have actually three products in clinical phase, which is not too bad on 14 people. The furthest advanced project is the Diamyd diabetes vaccine for type 1 diabetes based on GAD65. Where we're in the middle of phase three now. We're running two big phase three trials, one in the US and one in Europe, and we'll get to that later. Similar product, but for a different indication called LADA, which is also a type of diabetes. We'll also spend some time on LADA, what it is. We're in phase two with that one, also based on GAD65. And then we have two products from an earlier phase platform, a gene therapy platform, which we call the nerve targeting drug delivery system, where the first product for chronic pain is now in phase one. Very exciting platform. They also have one product in preclinical. The vision of the company is to one day prevent and cure the autoimmune form of diabetes. The strategy is to build a small pharma in diabetes. So we're not looking for the big pharma model. We want to be a small pharma or a small specialty pharma. The basis for that company, we hope, will be the Diamyd diabetes vaccine for type 1. Type 1 is an orphan indication, at least if you look at the incidence. We're treating newly diagnosed patients. So it's something which a small company could handle as a product. Still, we're looking for partners in certain markets for that product. The LADA indication, on the other hand, is too big for a small company like us, and we're actively looking for partners on a global basis for that product. The anti-DDS platform, the thinking is that we will develop diabetes-related products in-house until phase two, and then offer licensing or potentially keep them in-house. The anti-DDS product is much, much wider than diabetes, and we're open for discussions on in other therapeutic areas for this technology. This is our share price development of the last 12 months. We had a very good first 6 months of this year where we actually doubled. So we're the blue line here, and the gray line is the Stockholm Index. We had a string of good news during the spring about new trials and our ongoing trials, so it was a good time. The rest of the year, we hope we've had some summer vacation here and that we can continue start a new hockey stick here in the early fall.
Where's the stock right now?
It's at 95 Swedish crowns. Autoimmune diabetes, we have two forms. There are many forms of diabetes. There are at least two forms of autoimmune diabetes. The classic one is type 1 diabetes or juvenile diabetes or childhood diabetes. The problem in type 1 diabetes is that the body's own immune system attacks the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas, kills them, and eventually the body cannot make enough insulin to support itself, and daily insulin injections is required. We have some friends from Novozymes in the next room. I guess they're fairly close to their friends at Novo Nordisk. But we don't consider insulin to represent a cure, and I don't think they do either. Insulin is a replacement therapy. It keeps these patients alive. It provides a very high quality of life and long survival. But it's not a cure, and it's not even an ideal therapy. And it does not address the autoimmunity. Still, patients with type 1 have a shorter life expectancy. They do suffer from complications to a very large degree, etc., etc. So there is nothing there addressing the autoimmune component of type 1 diabetes. Very similar in etiology is LADA, or latent autoimmune diabetes in adults, also called type 1 and a half. It's really a mix between type 1 and type 2. Again, there is an autoimmune attack on the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas, but it's much slower than type 1 diabetes. So these patients typically present like type 2s. They're diagnosed as type 2 patients, but they advance to needing insulin therapy much faster than a standard or a real type 2 patient would. About 10 to 20% of type 2 patients actually have or may develop LADA. If you know how much people have diabetes these days, that's an awful lot of people. The treatment paradigm today is to treat them like type 1s, and then you call them non-responders when they don't respond to oral drugs, and then eventually they're put on insulin. The complications of diabetes is really the problem. The definition of diabetes is too high glucose levels in your blood, too much sugar in your blood. That in itself is not the problem. The problem is the damages this sugar causes to your body. So the complications. There are both acute or short-term complications, such as too high blood sugar that can lead to ketoacidosis, which is a lethal state, requires emergency care, or too low sugar, which is hypoglycemia. And since the brain lives off sugar in the blood, you need to have a certain level of sugar in your blood all the time. Otherwise, you become unconscious, and that also leads to death eventually. Long-term complications are maybe the biggest costs of diabetes come from the long-term complications, where we have cardiovascular disease, so heart attacks, nephropathy, renal failure, that the sugar is toxic to the kidneys. We have neuropathy, diabetes pain, the nerves gets broken down, and that causes a pain which you cannot treat. Patients say it feels like my foot is on fire or like somebody stuck a knife in my foot, but there is nothing you can really, there is no sign on the outside of the foot. And then we have retinopathy, damages to the eyes, which can lead to blindness. So the suffering these causes is massive, and the costs for society are massive. And it's estimated that the cost to treat and prevent diabetes and its complications exceed $230 billion per year. This, of course, includes type 2 diabetes, which is not our field, but we cover a fairly big chunk of these 230 million. The prevalence of type 1 diabetes, as I said, it's a fairly small indication, small enough for a small company to take on some of these markets on our own. At least that's what we expect. There are about 900,000 patients in the US with type 1. There are about 32,000 new patients each year. And those 32,000 is what we are targeting with our first drug to market. In Europe, since we are a bit more people, we have 1.3 million patients with type 1. And we have 46,000 new patients per year. If you add this up, you come to something between 70,000 and 80,000 patients, which is clearly an orphan-sized population. If we look at LADA, assuming 10% of all type 2s would have LADA, if you actually bothered to screen them for the disease, we would find that more than 20 million people in the world actually have LADA. It's a huge market compared to the type 1. So what is then Diamid? We call it the diabetes vaccine, but talking to professionals, a more correct term would be a diabetes immunomodulator, because it's not a vaccine. It's an immunomodulator. But it's given like a vaccine, and it looks very much like a vaccine, so we call it the diabetes vaccine for laymen. But if you want to, Hans Wigzell would argue that don't call it a vaccine, it's an immunomodulator. But it's easier for people to catch on to. The active ingredient is the human protein glutamic acid decarboxylase. And we take that protein and we formulate it with a standard vaccine adjuvant, alum, and we deliver that in 2 to 4 injections, prime and booster doses, subcutaneously in the arm, like a vaccine. So listening to Jesper and the other speakers, this is really Stone Age stuff. We have the oldest adjuvants around. We have a protein that's been known forever. But we're still 2 years away from market, so it does take some time. Protein GAD is a very important target when the immune system attacks the insulin-producing cells. And by giving more of this, and now a different immune environment, we can actually teach the immune system to tolerate GAD and to steer it away from attacking GAD to just letting it be. And thereby, we can save the remaining insulin-producing cells. GAD is a very specific antigen in autoimmune diabetes. And we are not aware of any other disease, really, where it plays an important role, except for maybe a neurological disease. But type 1 is at least our first target, and there are no ongoing developments in this in the other fields. We've had phase 2 results from our type 1 diabetes trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine. That was last October. And just beginning of this summer, we had phase 2 results from LADA published in Diabetologia. And I have both papers here for the really science hardcore buffs. You can have a copy. The IP actually comes from UCLA, University of Florida. So it's really Sweden-America life science fitting. So if we look at the disease process graphically, we have beta cell mass or insulin-producing capacity on the left-hand side here. And we have time here. If we take a healthy person, they have all their insulin-producing cells here, 100% capacity, and something triggers this autoimmune attack on the beta cells. We don't know what it is. Nobody knows what it is today. There are many theories that it's a virus infection or too little sunlight. There are a lot of things. We know about 50% of the reason is genetic. So you need to have a certain genotype to be at risk. The other 50% is something environmental, which we don't know what it is. But we know it's getting more common because our genotype hasn't changed, but the disease is increasing in incidence, and it's increasing fast, especially in children. Anyway, something triggers this autoimmune attack, and little by little, the immune system kills off the insulin-producing cells. No problem. You have too many beta cells to start with. You can make too much insulin to start with. But when only 10 to 20% of the original amount of cells remain, the body cannot cope anymore, and the patient presents with clinical symptoms of disease. And usually here is when you initiate insulin therapy. So the patient starts injecting insulin up to 7 times a day and will do that for the rest of his or her life. The insulin doesn't stop the autoimmunity, as I said, and after a few years, say 1 or 2 years, the immune system has killed off virtually all insulin-producing cells, and there is no remaining capacity at all, endogenous capacity to make insulin in the body. These 10 to 20%, if you could only preserve those, you would have at least a little bit of buffer. And that has been shown to reduce the risk for complications quite significantly. So an intervention which can stop or delay the complete loss of beta cell function is of clinical importance. So you even after diagnosis, it's still worth trying to save the remaining beta cells. And that's exactly what Diamid is aiming to do. We aim to preserve the beta cell function or the insulin producing capacity. And what we've done in our trial so far is that we are only allowed to treat patients that have already presented with disease. So they are already on insulin. And we've shown that we can stop or at least delay the degradation of the remaining beta cells for quite some time. if you could stop this autoimmunity, you also open the door to make the beta cells grow back. There have been many experiments, and beta cell transplants is a prime example, where you actually transplant new beta cells into a patient, and then 5 to 10 years later, they've also been killed by the immune system. So it's a recurring autoimmunity. So if you want to cure type 1 diabetes, you have to stop the autoimmunity somehow. We think this is one way. Another interesting thing is that already in this phase, when the body still can make plenty of insulin, there are biomarkers showing that this process is ongoing. So we could, if we went out and screened the population, we could find the people that have already started going down this slippery slope. Mattias said that he thinks that one day everybody will have a genetic screening every year. Well, if that comes true, then we would catch everybody who are at risk of developing disease or are actually already on their way towards disease. Our long-term aim is actually to treat people already at this stage, save the remaining beta cells before it becomes a clinical problem for the patient. And we've started a trial like this. We are now treating 4 to 7 year old kids in Lund and Malmö. They are part of a population study where they screened kids at birth for their genetic risk. And if they have the genetic risk, they are now followed every 6 months with blood samples looking for these particular biomarkers. And we are kind of tapping into that trial or that population study. When a kid has 2 or more of these biomarkers, which means they have 40% risk of developing the disease over the next few years, we step in and offer them to try the vaccine. So it's not that far away. And the announcement of that trial was what drove the stock price this spring. It was much earlier than anybody had ever imagined that we could do this. So what's the market potential here? Well, there is no product on the market addressing the autoimmunity in autoimmune diabetes, as I mentioned. So there is no competitor at the moment. We believe there is a blockbuster potential for Diamyd in type 1 alone, or in recent onset type 1, so newly diagnosed patients. As I said, there are about 70 to 80,000 patients around. We have pharmacoeconomic analysis pointing to a price point of not below $15,000 per treatment. That means the total market size would be something in the area of $1 billion. And then we haven't even looked at the potential in other indications, like the LADA, where we know there are many more patients than in type 1. The prevention, there are obviously more people at risk of developing the disease than actually do develop the disease. And if we can start thinking about the cure, we have a very interesting trial going on with the NIH, where they combine our vaccine with beta cell stimulating agents, trying to stop the autoimmunity and grow the beta cells back. So that's also already ongoing. So our phase 3 program here, we're running 2 trials, one in the US, one in Europe. We're approved by the US FDA and 9 European countries. We do 320 patients in each continent. We expect to have results then and end of 2010, early 2011, which means we could file in 2011. And depending on how long the FDA and the EMEA takes, we could be on the market probably then in 2012. One word or a few words about our NTDDS platform. NTDDS stands for Nerve Targeting Drug Delivery System. System delivering drugs to nerves without going into the blood of a patient. So it's a gene therapy technology. With this very targeted treatment, we have a local treatment which leads to a low risk of adverse effects. Many times, for example, in pain, the problem with the drug are the side effects when they hit other parts of the body where they shouldn't be. You have pain in your leg and you fill your whole body with morphine. That doesn't make sense. So this would just send the drug to the area, the nerves that are actually experiencing pain. We target diabetes complications like pain and neuropathy, but of course there are multiple applications possible. Anybody who wants to deliver a drug to the nervous system specifically would be interested in this, I would guess. 2 products, MP2 for chronic pain, which is in phase 1 at the University of Michigan, and NG2, which is in preclinical phase. Just a summary, we're specialized in diabetes. We have 3 products in clinical development. We have an outsourcing model, which has kept costs very low over time. Blockbuster potential for the Diamyd diabetes vaccine. We have out-licensing potential. We are already in talks with some pharmas. If you have an interest, we would be willing to, happy to talk to you. We have a share. If you're interested to invest, look at the share. You can contact us. I guess everybody's looking for money all the time in this field, and so are we. So if you have money that you want to put to use, you can come talk to us. We've been published then in the New England Journal of Medicine and Diabetologia. We have strong IP, and we have an experienced board and management. And this is our website. Thank you very much.
This podcast was brought to you by Diamyd Medical. For more information, please visit us at diamyd.com.